Wow. Okay. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, January the 16th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marisa G., and the 12 Traditions, Margaret D., and the readers of the text are Sherry M. and Janice P.M. And today we'll be on page 72 of the chapter 6, Into Action. The second paragraph down begins with, "This is perhaps difficult." We're reading seven sentences, ending with, "If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking." The share ID for Wednesday, yesterday, January 15th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 22,080. That's 22,080. And for Thursday, January 16th, this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,086. That's 22,086. Newcomer greeter is Chanel T., and announcements person is Leslie M., and thank you all so much for your service. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Marisa, I think it's G, yes, Marisa G, to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Mo. Marisa G., New York, recovered. Here are the steps we took. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscience, contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to serve. I pass.
Thank you, Marisa G., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Margaret D. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning. And here's the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret D. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. You keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our average is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 72, chapter 6, Into Action, second paragraph down. It begins with, "This is perhaps difficult," and we're going to read 7 sentences only down, and it ends with, "If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking." And I will now ask, I think it's Sherry, Sherry M., to read that and comment on it for us. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Mo. "This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. My name is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming, and I'm so grateful to be of service, and thank you, Mo, for taking the meeting. So this is perhaps difficult, discussing myself with someone else, and then I think to myself, well, what is more difficult, living a life where I'm binging my brains out, isolated from the world, not able to pick up my phone or go anywhere or do anything, being completely self-obsessed, and being a slave to a disease that I cannot control or determine when the next time is I'm going to take a compulsive bite. and living a life of wanting, you know, suicidal ideation. I wanted to die every day because I couldn't find any way out of this mess. So it's like, what is more difficult, that or sitting with someone and doing the steps in order, which means that I'm simply just reading the inventory. And, you know, what I learned about step four is this is not a moral issue. This is me, like if I have a business, I'm just taking stock and I'm letting the CEO of the company know, here you go. Here's all the things that aren't working and here's what's working and how can we make this a more lucrative business? You know, like the business of Sherry, like I need to be able to go out in the world, look people in the eye, practice love and tolerance, not be self-obsessed. And I love that it says here, it says we found it necessary to, it doesn't say to go further, it says much further. So that's to me a watchword. Like this is action, 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 action. And it's not a one fifth step and done. I've shared inventory with at least, 30 or more people in my four programs, number one. And it's the first one, it does feel a little like, oh, this is weird. So here's what I've learned also. If I'm sitting in a fifth step with a sponsor, and my sponsor also tell her all the secrets I was holding at the end of it, because a lot of things that I'm holding inside are not maybe discovered in the inventory, that if I don't feel comfortable there sharing, it says I can share with anybody. So share it with a therapist, share it with somebody. The point is we have to get it out of ourselves because we will eat over secrets. This is the whole point of this. Is that I'm going to God, that's great. I'm going to myself, great. But if I'm going to myself in a solitary appraisal and I'm only on the fifth step at this point, I'm not recovered, then I'm basically going to a diseased mind to help me decipher what's real and what's not. And it doesn't work because the disease cannot, cast out the disease. Only a higher power can. And it's only by me basically putting hands in the air saying, take it all of me, take the food, take my secrets, take it all and do with it what you will. And you know, what I found is that the things that I was holding and so ashamed to share, no one really cared because they weren't really that big of a deal. It was being human being. Fine. That's what I was doing. I was a human being. So love y'all. Have a great meeting.
Hey, thank you, Sherry M. from Wyoming, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, then let's skip today and you could share tomorrow. So who would like to share on these seven sentences? Second paragraph on page 72 begins with this, this is perhaps difficult, seven sentences down. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. And we're only commenting on those seven sentences. Press star one, please, if you'd like to share. If you haven't shared before, this would be your time to press star one. I'd love to hear from you.
Joan Marie.
Simone in California.
Joan, I heard you, Joan Marie.
Thank you.
And who was after Joan Marie? Was that Simone?
Yes, Simone in California.
Okay. Got Joan Marie M. and Simone L. Who else? We're slowly waking up. I think we'll just go with those two then. Anybody else?
Lilan P.
Lilan P. Got you, Lilan.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Let's go with those three.
What was the reading?
Who was that?
Martha,
oh, it's page 70. It's page 72, chapter 6, Into Action. The second paragraph down begins with, this is perhaps difficult, and we're reading seven sentences. It ends with, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. All right. We have three, Joan Marie M., Simone L., and Lilong P. Everyone else mute except Joan Marie. Good morning, Joan Marie. Are you there,
morning,
Joan Marie?
Hello. Yes, I had. I thought.
Oh, there
I
you are.
You. There I am. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you for your service. I never like to go first, and I guess everybody, you know. Anyway, what stood out to me is if we skip this vital step, we will. I will overeat again. I will. Because I ate over emotions, I ate over fear, I ate over shame and guilt and condemnation. And when I go to somebody else, it gives me that ability to be humble that God may work in me. Because without you being humble before another person, it just doesn't work. It doesn't bring that humility that we need so that God can take these character defects away. And like someone said, it's a house cleaning. We need to clean house all the debris that has blocked the connection between myself and a higher power, God. And I just praise God for what he has done through this program, through the people that share. So if you're a little shy on sharing, go for it. People need to hear what you say. You may just touch one person's heart, and the light bulb opens up, and they can see clearly what this is about. It's about drawing closer to God, a power greater than ourselves, removing all of this. Do they come back at times? Of course. But I see them now. I don't have to blame everybody else for this or that. I see my part. I see my part. And then I can ask God to remove that and help me not to do it again. It's so simple, but it's not easy. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Hey, thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada, for getting us started. Up next is Simone L., followed by Lilong P. Good morning, Simone.
This is Simone L. from California, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And I wasn't going to share today, but this seemed like a great opportunity to do so. And so I'm going through this process right now after having gone through the program before, gone through this process. And what's been different about this process is, you know, it is difficult. And if we don't go through the process of talking about our inventory and the stock and trade of what's going on in our life, you know, we're not really getting honest and we're not really getting humble and vulnerable and in a place for our higher power really work with us on those defects. I'm saying that because I'm going through it this time. And yeah, putting it off. Put a little bit here, put a little bit there on my inventory. And then I finally just reached out for help and said, you know what? I'm really fearful about doing this. I'm really scared. And it was like the dam broke. And then it was easier. And I was able to sit down. And, you know, my fear, which is the lie that is continually on the loop in my brain, wasn't fulfilled, right? My sponsor said to me, hey, did you notice this? Hey, did you see that? And it was further freedom. So I'm so thankful for that and so thankful for God bringing me to a place of willingness and being and so grateful for the opportunity to share. And with that, I'm done.
Thank you, Simone L. from California. P., let me remind those of you just getting on the line, we're on page 72, chapter 6, Into Action, second paragraph down. This is perhaps difficult, And we're going to read, we are reading seven sentences, or we're commenting on seven sentences, ending with, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. And after Lelon, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Lelon.
Good morning. It's Lelon P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. And the phrase that jumped out to me was, a solitary self-appraisal is insufficient. I haven't yet done the fourth or fifth step with my Vision for You sponsor, but in when I previously did the fourth step and fifth step in the Big Book manner, I had a wonderful sponsor, and I was quite young, I was in my early 20s, and everything I brought to her, I found that the way I saw the world and myself and in relation to other people was reversed and upside down. So like where I thought I was an innocent victim, I invariably had a part to play. And where I thought I was some horrific beast, I was just human. And I would never have known that if I didn't have a human being, if I wasn't sharing these things with another human being who could reflect reality back to me, because in my diseased brain, I cannot see reality. I, at that point in my early 20s, I wouldn't even let like anyone close enough for an intimate relationship, because I thought if you saw inside me, you would know, you would see that I am the devil. Like I am such a monster inside. And the greatest shame that I carried around was the way I treated my brother, which is the younger brother, was just controlling and critical. And but I was shamed so severely in my household for that. And so I remember reading that part of my fourth step to my sponsor about my brother. And she said, oh yeah, I treated my niece like that. And it was like, it was that. And I left her apartment. It was like this boulder of shame and self-loathing that had been weighing me down for years. It lifted and it left me. And it doesn't mean that I became a fully healed human being, but I just never, ever again walked around feeling like I am this monster and I can't see what's inside. So I think the healing of sharing it with another person is so important. And on our own, it's not a fifth step. I'll pass. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, Lelon P. from Germany. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience also. So who would like to share on these seven sentences? Second paragraph down on page 72, this is perhaps difficult, reading seven sentences, and it ends with, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. I'll pick
Pam
another
B.
lineup of names. Pam B?
Yes.
Gotcha. Press star
Deb
one.
F in Texas.
Deb F in Texas.
Yes.
Charlene G, Utah.
Charlene G.
Dion R.
B. Dion F.
R.
Gotcha. Anyone else in this lineup? I have Pam B, Deb F, Charlene G, and Dion F. I think it's Dion F. No, maybe it's Dion N. Anyone else? If not, everyone mute except Pam B. Tell us where you're calling from, Pam.
Hi, good morning. I'm Pam B from California. I'm grateful to be here, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, my thoughts are I'm reminded of a special edition recently that, not recently, but like within last month. And it was the person shared, the speaker talked about how we have, we've been, you know, a lot of us have been hurt and lose trust, right? And I was one of those. And yet we get to a point in our addiction, our disease, where we have no no other options. Like the, we have to, when it gets bad enough, you know, I felt like not only if I didn't do the steps, all of them, including five, I would die. I would just, and so I was willing, because I wasn't crazy about the idea of sharing the secrets that I hadn't shared with anybody, to you know, someone I really didn't know all that well. I didn't know their secrets, and I didn't know what their response was going to be. They didn't agree with me on everything. I couldn't control them. And yet here I was, you know, this at this point where I was willing to trust that this is what I had to do. And I also shared that experience where, you know, I shared these really, really embarrassing things that I was ashamed of. And this kind woman loved me anyway, and it wasn't a big deal. Just was being human, and she shared her experience too. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here, be on the line, be with you, and connect with you. And I am excited about the birthday party this weekend. Okay, take care. I'll pass.
All right. Looking forward to it. All right, Pam B. That's Pam B. from California. Up next is Deb F. from Texas. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Mo. Yeah, I've just been, what can I say? You know, if we hold back from this, from our inventory, it's just going to keep coming back to bite us or whatever and bother us. Just going to be that little thing under there that's just going to go, you know, just a little disturbance. You could do 10 steps on it all the time. But I heard something a couple weeks ago about this one sponsor taking her sponsee through the steps, and she decided to do the steps with her. And I go, that's what I need to do. So, and it, I'm in the middle of it. I give away my fifth step tomorrow. And I tell you, I've just been very open. What is God doing, you know, in my life? What is God doing? Because I just had this underlying disturbance for a while. You know, I have, I feel like I was born into a family that I didn't belong in. That's my story, right? That's my story. And then people keep telling me, that's your story, you know? And I went another route through my church to get some help with that. And basically they said, that's your family, you know? And even through counseling, a person who does this program as well with me, she was going, geez, you're not getting any younger. And I don't know, you know, I still threw it back. I just didn't know what to do with it all. I just felt so much better being free of my family and not having anything to do with them. And I realized, you know what, when I started praying, and the way God works in my life is that he convicts me without shame, you know, and just shows me my part, because I kept praying, show me my part. I can't see it. And so I just love it because, you know, I've been praying every night that I just pray to surrender all my thoughts, all of my beliefs, everything, and that God continue to show me what is mine. And when he is being doing that, and I just feel like it's like being in an ocean with waves so high that I know I can't live. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to live through this. And I just have to go, you know what? I don't see a way with this, but I trust you. And since then, okay, I have been having the best sleeps at night. okay? Not taking anything, not trying to do anything except surrender. And yeah, and then I'm getting somebody to listen to my fifth step that she wouldn't be somebody I would choose to have listen to anything. You know, I mean, it's like in my face kind of stuff.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, there we go. And with that, I'll pass. I'm just so grateful for this process.
Hey, thank you very much, Pam B. from California. Next is Deb F. from Texas. No, wait a minute. Was that Deb F.? That was Deb F. Sorry. Charlene G. from Utah. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Charlene G. from Utah. It's 20 out. Nice, beautiful, sunny morning. Thank you all for your service, and welcome to the newcomers. If you're still considering or wondering, baffled, just keep coming. It does click. It just makes so much more sense, and I'm in a place of gratitude after all these years of someone opening their mouth and sharing with me that there was such a thing as Overeaters Anonymous and that it was a disease. So in my early years, for a long, long time, I had and still could find myself preoccupied with myself, preoccupied with the food plan, the getting abstinent. And slowly the growth comes thanks to my sponsors and the people that have blessed me and served me along the way. But, you know, I'm trying to pay attention to that, to not be preoccupied with myself and to ask for help and be of service and look outside of me. You know, and I was thinking about this word, the spiritual awakening. You know, to me, it must mean that I must have been asleep, or that before that sleep, what was I? Maybe my true self. I don't know. I've just been thinking about that. But I think I'm having a spiritual awakening because I'm more willing today than ever, ever before to look at my flaws, to look at my part. And it takes courage to do a step five. And I didn't have the courage when I was early in the OA, in my OA life. I had the courage to keep coming because I just loved what I heard. So the courage grows and the awakening happens and the willingness grows. So today I'm allowing God to help me straighten out. I'm not as afraid and I'm not hiding and doing it in a solo, you know, solitary mode. Step five has helped me get ready for these tens. And that's where I'm at today, is looking at things more willingly and bravely. I used to avoid talking about them and keep them to myself. And I actually want to see my part. I want God to help me and show me the better way, the opposite of the defect, and to take away these defects one day at a time. And I have more faith and more trust that it can happen. It can happen for me. And I do believe there's a correlation between my sobriety and this step five work. And if I have grime on my heart, it'll keep getting, you know, it'll make me want to keep putting gunk in my body. So there's, at first I'm like, what does this have to do with my compulsive eating? But it's definitely related. I just love you all. I love hanging out with you all. And you know why? Because you love God and you love goodness. And that's a cool people to hang out with. That's a cool group to be hanging out with. Mm-hmm. And your love for this way of life is bigger than the world's way of living and what's out there in the world. You see the needs of another. Right. You seek out opportunities to serve. And that is an inspiration to me. And you help me want to become a better person. Thank you. Thank you. And everybody have a blessed day. I pass.
Thank you very much, Charlene G. from Utah. And we love you too. Before I take Dion, and I believe it's Dion R, but I'm not sure, we tell everybody where we're at. We're on page 72, chapter 6, Into Action, the second paragraph down. This is perhaps difficult, and we are reading seven sentences in that paragraph, ending with a vital step: we may not overcome drinking. And after Dion, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Ms. Mo. How are you doing? This is Dion R. and everyone else on Vision for You. Thank you, Mo, for reminding me of the seven sentences. I was getting carried away. No, thank you. And thank you all for your service work and positions of service. And how beautiful she is. It enlightened me. Perhaps there is a difficult way, Dion. You know, this is why I take it personal. This is a vital step. Like many have said, if I miss it, yeah, as they say, a few senses down, we all, they almost always get drunk again, and or binge again, eat again, grouch again, whatever. I don't need all that. So that's the best reason why they talk about self-appraisal. Yeah, you got to clean your house and clean it good. And yeah, because people say, well, God, you already know. I barred away. You really know. You made, you know. You created me, you know, I'm admitting it to you. Uh-huh, yeah, and he placated me. Yeah, sound good, Dion. But what did I say? That's been my life. It's just like, but, I'll listen to you. But you know, I'm waiting on you to give you so much. Give you over 100-some-pound weight, huh, girl? I'll wait. I got so much for you, right? Looking in hindsight, that was 30 years ago. But, you know, all the reasons. That we have good reason, but the best reason halfway down that prayer is just the best reason. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome compulsive overeating. For me, and that's what that means. And I didn't want to miss it. So when I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing the Dion's way, I surrendered and I met it to God. And to another human being, the exact everything I thought I did in the other program. I'm like, I'm clean now, I'm good. For me, I stopped cleaning house. And it was supposed to be that way because food was always my number one addiction. I had to remove, God removed those character defects in order where they were killing me. I had to remove the drugs and alcohol, my story only. I mean, I guess for today, what I'm sharing is. And then the food been there day one. So to get rid of that one, he had to pry it out my hand. 23 years, I kept trying it my way. Today, I'm grateful for 12 and a half years of doing it just like it's written, like my higher power suggests that I do. I admit to God, I admit it to myself, and ask him to show me the right human being to share with. Because I've had some issues with that too, but. With God, I can take one step at a time. And if I'm on that step, and when I'm on that step, he humbly saw me through. And with that, I'll pass and thank you all and pray for the ones in LA. And I just, they had the disaster. But praying you all have a wonderful time at the birthday. And
where
that,
are you calling from, Dion?
No, I'm calling from Georgia now. Yes, I've been in Georgia. For about
you're
a year.
Where?
Georgia.
Georgia, yeah. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, son. Take care.
Bye. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these seven sentences?
Luann C.
Luann C.?
Catherine N.
Catherine N. We can probably take one or two more.
Clarice H. from Chicago.
Okay. Clarice H. from Chicago, Illinois. Okay, well, let's go with these three. We have Luann C., Catherine N., and Clarice H. Everyone mute except Luann. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for taking the meeting. This has been a great meeting so far. I mean, the shares have been wonderful for me. Just clarifying something, that before recovery, I basically was living in a dungeon in my mind. You know, it's basically purgatory in here because, you know, I was constantly chained to my past and all the things that I had done because I was very good at keeping track of everything I had done. And it was like the price for it was just to go over and over it, you know, with no relief from it. And, you know, I had to have food to keep me company in here, you know, because it was painful and hopeless, worse, even worse. And my mind before the fifth step was just presenting to me the fear of exposure and having to air out this terrible stuff, you know, and the feeling that we can put it off, you know, just put it off. And, you know, we'll just stay safe here inside because it was terrible, but at least it was known. I knew what to expect in here in this terrible dungeon. But with recovery, you know, even though I can see with regret my past, I do have regrets, especially with my mom deficiencies, you know, how I mothered my child. But now I don't feel like a monster, as was said. That really helped me. I don't feel like a monster anymore. I have a way out of here. You know, I can see I have the ninth steps. I have amends. I have people who have said, you know, like was said, yeah, I did that too, where I go, okay, you know, I'm not stuck in here anymore. And I have recovery. I have a way out into the world. And I'm so grateful for that. I forgot to say I'm Luann C. from Boise, Idaho. I'm recovered today. Thank you, God. And I pray every day for the people in my home state of California. And I just hope you all have a wonderful time. I know you will at the birthday party. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Luann C. from Idaho. Up next is Catherine N., followed by Clarice H. Catherine, let us know where you're calling from. Good morning.
Yes, Catherine N. calling from Virginia. I want to thank everybody for their shares and thank you, Mo, for leading the meeting. Yeah, step is, I've taken a number of fifth steps, but there was nothing like the first one that I did. I just felt that the person I gave my fifth step away to was so loving and caring and was open to hear what I had to say. And how I approached it was I did my best to be honest and intimate with the person, not intimate, but tell my, you know, my fourth step, my deepest secrets. And the biggest one was that, you know, I was unworthy and had a lot of fear. And, you know, they were running my life, also feeling unlovable. So when I was able to share my fourth step with this person and they accepted me exactly as I was, it gave me a reason to look at my assets after you know, learning everything about me, or not everything because it was my first four step, but learning about myself and being able to accept myself and love myself and helping me out and with the process. Well, that'll pass.
Thank you very much, Catherine N. from Virginia. And up next is Clarice H. And if there's time, I may be able to take one more. Good morning, Clarice.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and for everybody for being here and giving me a meeting. This is exactly where I am right now in my recovery journey. And I'm realizing that, you know, the self-appraisal is insufficient and that I did have to go much farther. And I know when I started, especially this step, I really was embarrassed to admit some of these things. And my sponsor was just like, oh, I've probably done what you've done or probably even worse. And he just created a really safe space for me. And we kind of laughed about it. And I know that my perfectionism is really what made me focus on all the bad things that I have done in my past. But you know, being able to admit these things to another person really was freeing. And I know that's the first step. And so now I'm in the process of making a few of these amends. And yesterday I did an amends with my daughter, and it felt so good. It really went great. She was open and she was grateful, and she acknowledged that, you know, that our relationship has improved. And I told her it's only it's improved these last several months since I've been in program and developing my relationship with God. And I was able to share that with her. She knows that I was working the steps, but I said I really believe that my heart has changed since I've been in program and working on my relationship with God. So it kind of gave me that way in to even talk more about that, which was a blessing. And the thing with it is, it didn't go perfectly. It didn't go as I intended it exactly, because she brought up something about never feeling like, always feeling like my son was the favored child. And I found myself gently kind of defending myself. And I just kind of said that, you know, as a mom, like, of course I'm not favoring either. And, you know, I said it in a loving, gentle way. And when I talked about it again with my sponsor, he's like, well, let's look at that. Like, maybe some of your actions, even though you might not have ever said anything, or some of your actions could have given her that impression. And he said, what if you went back to her and said, the more I was thinking about it, that you can kind of admit that maybe some of my actions did, you know, so that, you know, did lead her to believe that I did favor our son. And just saying, like, I hear you, and it was never my intention, and I'm sorry for that. And so and I never would have thought about that, because my whole life, if somebody is coming at me, is, of course, is that's how I look at it. But if somebody sort of, you know, questioned something, I always was so defensive, even if I was defensive in a really sweet way. But I'm learning a new way. Okay, thank you so much. Just wrap up by saying, if you're afraid of doing this, just do it. Just rip off that Band-Aid and start, and follow the instructions in this book. Thank you so much. I pass. Clarice from Chicago. Thanks again.
Thank you, Clarice H. from Chicago, Illinois. I have time for about a 1 minute share if anybody would like to jump in there, give their thoughts on these seven sentences.
Joe M., Minnesota.
Joe M., okay. Go ahead, Joe. I'll give you a minute.
Okay, thank you. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. You know what? I didn't do a step five because I'm noble. I didn't do a step five because I'm looking for spiritual growth. I did a step five and continue to do step five because I have nowhere else to go. It really is that simple. I got nowhere else to go. I'm desperate. I'm doomed. I'm done. And this is the only thing in front of me that stands in the way between me and my freedom. And therefore, that's why I do it. And so that clarifies things for me. I don't want to go back to the food. Get all the way out of the food. How am I going to stay out of the food? This is part of the work. And so that's what I got. I'll pass. Thanks.
Hey, perfect. Thank you very much, Joe M. from Minnesota. Thank you all for your shares and for being present on the line. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I'm going to ask Janice PM to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you and everyone. What a meeting, huh? Yes, my name is Janice PM, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater for today. And our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pat.